Haley Kenyon.
The recording started. It was interrupted by Haley adding herself.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the December 8th, 2021 in-person meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners Credit Committee. This meeting is also being made available via live teleconference for the general public. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this combined in-person and telephonic meeting.
Good morning, this is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing participants telephonically in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. During the meeting, if anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Thank you, CJ. This is Carol Ventura. Corinne Myers, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide additional information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers speaking. This hybrid meeting is being held with all members of the Rhode Island Housing Credit Committee appearing in person in keeping with the Rhode Island Open Meetings Act. Specific RI Housing staff will be participating via teleconference, and members of the public may also access the meeting via teleconference or attend in person according to their preference. If the teleconference is interrupted for any reason, we will stop the meeting until audio is restored. Today's agenda and information on each of the actions being taken are available on Rhode Island Housing's website. Committee Chairman Orth will preside at today's meeting. Meeting participants, please state your name prior to speaking each and every time, in particular when making a motion or providing a second or when asking a question to the staff presenter. Telephone participants, please mute your line when you're not speaking. And now I will turn it over to Committee Chairman Orth to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Corinne. This is Kevin Orth. The meeting is now called to order. Let's jump in. We have a long agenda here. First item is the approval of the minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on November 4th, 2021. Is there a motion to approve?
Can we do the roll first?
We'll do the roll? Okay.
I'm not
following my script. It was printed out. Sorry.
Let me just quickly call the roll. Chairman Nicholas Ratzina.
Here.
Commissioner Kevin Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Maria Barry.
Here.
Thank you. You have a quorum. You can continue.
Okay. Thank you, Kara. All right. One more time. I have a motion to approve the minutes of the Credit Committee. 2021, please.
Going.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Nick. Any comments or questions? Hearing none. Corinne, would you please conduct a vote?
This is Corey Myers. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on November 4th, 2021, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by a unanimous vote.
Great. Let's move on to the second item, which is recommendation for firm approval of financing for Douglas Manor Apartments located in Providence.
Kevin, can I make one ask a question?
Yes. William?
And looking at these, there are a lot of parallels. Take out names, put new name in, whatever role. If we could ask the management staff here, as you go over your presentation, is there anything that makes this an outlier? It doesn't fit as a pattern. If you could highlight that for us, it would be really helpful. Because we're going to get kind of woozy looking at the same outline. I will anyway.
I think a lot, maybe the first five or FFB refinance is very,
exactly.
Very similar. So I think that would be very helpful. Okay, great. So a motion to recommend firm approval, please, of this item.
Chris, moved.
Moved and
seconded.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Jeff, you'll be presenting?
Yeah, he is going to be presenting, but I'd just like to sort of preface these five deals with a couple of comments.
That'd be great.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
Yeah. So I wanted to just sort of quickly review the conversation we had last month, and we discussed the reconstituted FFC program and specifically those that were going to have equity takeout. And the committee agreed with our recommendation that we charge a fee equal to about 1.5% of the loan amount for FFB deals specifically that have an equity takeout. And these funds are going to be earmarked for the AHT, and they'll be used to assist with the development of either new affordable housing or the preservation of existing affordable housing. And so these five deals that we're talking about today have that equity takeout component. And there are five, but collectively, I think it's interesting, we'll be generating more than $1.1 million for the trust. We'll be generating another $1 million in origination fees. And then the finance group has looked at it and determined that it is the best path financially for the corporation if we look ahead to 15 years. One of the things I just want to note that's to the chairman's point is these two developers have kind of taken a different tact in terms of how they approach the deal. One is sort of doing sort of what we look at traditionally, a chunk of money up front with very with smaller deposits for the replacement reserve over time, whereas another one, the one that has four transactions, is doing much less work up front, but making much larger deposits into the replacement reserve so that over time they can manage the work that's been assumed to be needed based on a capital needs assessment that Rhode Island Housing approved. So I think it's they're taking different approaches. They both meet the requirements of our program, and so there are very minimal deviations. So I just kind of wanted to cover that. And the only other thing that I would say is that interest rates have increased since we started underwriting these deals. You know, the borrowers are ever optimistic, so asked us to keep with those lower interest rates. We are likely to see that interest rates are higher than they are now when we close. So the loan amounts that you're seeing today are probably the up to. They're likely to be a little less when we close. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jeff just to kind of set the table for him.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, good morning. This is Jeff Swanson, Development Officer with Rhode Island Housing. As Ann mentioned, Douglas Manor is a single deal that's being put forward by Property Advisory Group / Cathedral Development. They're well-versed in our programs. They've, to date, completed four or five similar transactions using both the previous iteration of the FFP program and more recently the Rhode Island Housing Taxable Refinance Program. We are here to request the approval of a loan of up to $15,350,000. They will, in the first year or so post-closing, complete a light rehab of $13,500 a unit. They will replace roughly 40% of the appliances in the project in individual units. They're focusing on some energy efficient upgrades, which will include a new boiler throughout the building, toilets that are low flow, and some cosmetic upgrades to finishes. The CNA does work through year 15. They will, at closing, deposit $2,000 a unit, and then going forward, they'll start with a $300 a month per unit, or excuse me, $300 a year deposit per unit to keep that well funded. As I said, it's really quite straightforward. There's no soft sources or anything to really draw your attention to.
Right, thank you. One of the points, Ann, that you had brought up, I think in the subsequent deals, as well as your discussion here, is doing another CNA in year 10 and making sure that the reserves were adequately funded.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a policy across the board? I know it wasn't mentioned in this particular transaction write-up. Is that just a standard policy for the FFB program?
Yes, we typically do that. We build it into the loan agreement.
Okay, which I think is great. I mean, because that's the risk. This is a 40-year product.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing a huge amount of renovation up front.
Yep.
So we want to make sure that this building is taken care of for the life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Happy to make that a condition.
So I think that's very, very good to see. I just want to jump in with one other question.
Commissioner, if I could just interrupt, I don't know that we actually had a motion on this. I think we need a motion before we have discussion.
We did.
We
but I think you had it before the presentation. I don't know if it's out of order, if that's an issue. Corey, can you weigh in?
Happy to ratify the vote previously taken. Sorry, the motion previously made. We previously had a motion by the chairman with a second by Maria Berry.
Okay.
That's intended to stand. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Just make sure you're all legal. That's
okay. All right. Thank you. So just again, another global question for these FFB transactions. So could you talk about the risk that Rhode Island Housing shares through the risk share FFB program? And is it, you know, are we in the first position or is it pari passu?
So these are under the FFB requirements with HUD. We have to do a 50-50 share with HUD.
Okay.
The way, as I understand it, and I'm not sure if Mike DeCaro or Carol would weigh in, basically, if there is actually a default, HUD pays 100%, and then they work with us to sort of figure out how to dispose of the property. So I don't know if that's your question.
No, it is. I know there's varying levels of percentage of risk that we would take on,
right.
And you're saying it's 50% in this case.
Right.
That's one, typical.
Right. Mm-hmm. One thing I will say about each of these five transactions is that they have all worked with HUD to reset their HAP contract for a new 20-year term. So
right.
We feel very confident that,
right.
You know, that the 50-50 is, you know, prudent and makes sense.
Okay.
You talked earlier about having two different approaches to development, what the upfront and the long term. Is any either approach change the risk profile of the project?
I don't think so.
I don't
know
the numbers are the same, but sorry. But
I think it's just a different mindset for the developer. In either case, our goal is to make sure that the physical structure is going to be in the best condition over the
right.
course of the loan. And so these two tasks really get us to the same place.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Any questions?
Yeah, the questions.
Okay. Any other comments or questions about this particular transaction? No, hearing none. Corinne, would you please conduct a roll call vote?
Yes, this is Corey Myers. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending firm approval of financing for Douglas Manor Apartments in Providence, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. We'll now move on to agenda item 2, which is very similar to the first one, but we'll take them all separately. It's we're requesting firm approval of financing for the Hardig Brook Village Apartments in Warwick.
That's action 3.
That's action 3. Excuse me. Thank you. Have a motion for that?
So moved.
So moved?
Second.
Maria seconded? Great. Thank you. And who's going to present on?
Yeah.
Jeff will present on this one too, please.
This is Jeff Swanson, Development Officer. So Hardig Brook Village Apartments is the first of four transactions that are all, as Ann has alluded to, very similar. This property and the rest of the portfolio have been in the Rhode Island Housing portfolio for several decades, for approximately 13 years is under this current ownership and then with the prior owner. This property contains 90 units. We are looking for approval today for $16,677,000 of a first mortgage. As Ann alluded to, that would be an up to amount. For this and the upcoming three properties, the developer is taking kind of a three-pronged approach, which is a little different from what we see on typical transactions. The three-prong approach being to preservation of the asset. One is in anticipation of this refinance. They've been very busy for this calendar year to complete a variety of improvements and upgrades pre-closing. At all four properties, there's some very general work being done for accessibility, ADA compliance, fire code, life safety compliance. We have not found anything outrageous But in the process of completing our due diligence, codes have evolved, and so they're making some upgrades in the common areas and with things like signage and lights and strobes. That will all be done pre-closing. In this case, they are also patched and sealed the parking lot, completed new striping in accordance with ADA requirements, and completed some concrete repairs. Post-closing, we will escrow funds for a major elevator rehab as well as a new roof. And then while our kind of our baseline for the CNA for replacement reserve funding is $2,000 a unit, in order to meet obligations or capital improvements that were kind of in years 6 through 10 of the hold period, they are actually going to fund $6,921 a unit. So with that 3.5 times our baseline, and that's just to make sure that when we get to future major capital projects, they have funds available. That's kind of it in a nutshell.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Comments or questions?
Yes, Nick?
A couple. You said this is one of the early projects at Rhode Island Housing, maybe about 45 years ago.
No, I'm sorry. If I misspoke. I believe this one's been in our portfolio for 20 to 25 years.
It's been since about 1978. So
oh, it's not that
early. It's one of the many Section 8 developments that were developed
that
in the
time,
70s and early 80s. Yeah. Yes, I think you are very familiar with that.
Foreclosed on a couple of those properties. My question has to do with the demographics of the residents there. I assume they're old. They're old to get in, and they're really old when they stay there. It's not unusual to have, I don't know what the average age is here, maybe 85 or something,
yeah,
and the like. To what extent do we take into account the social services that are often necessary with that kind of population?
They offer a variety of, technically, these are independent living.
Yes.
Practically speaking, as you've alluded to, they do a fair amount with the surrounding communities, Meals on Wheels, they all have a resident service coordinator. They do various screenings. I happen to know they've also done vaccination clinics. They do what they can. It's a fine line. They don't want to inadvertently turn into a nursing home, but it certainly is an elderly to very elderly population, as you alluded to. That's absolutely fair.
Purely a matter of curiosity, what is their vaccination rate? Do you happen to know?
I don't. I know my wife, personally, I can say my wife works at a facility, and kind of like Ann was talking about with her mother, that these people are so eager to get on with their living that I would suspect 97-98%. I know that's what is complex in Massachusetts. If you want a more specific answer, I'd be happy to give it to you. But
thank you.
If you're 90, a 2-year lockdown represents a pretty significant portion of your remaining life expectancy, is the unfortunate reality. So I think these folks.
Looks like into that.
This question of mine is really goes to all of these transactions, not just this one in particular, but these are all at the maximum 90% loan to value, pretty much. That's predicated on increased rents under the HAP contract. So it really goes to our comfort level with those rents. And I know the write-up indicates that we commissioned the appraisal. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Which is the same, I think, and the notes indicate the same rents as the HAP contract. So I'm just wondering about the relationship there. And whether you're really comfortable with those rents.
I guess is
the bottom line.
The short answer is yes.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting that it's actually, they've been looked at 3 times. First, they hired an outside consultant that is not on our approved list who prepared a rent
comp study
that was reviewed by someone affiliated with Rhode Island Housing. So that was the second pass. HUD has blessed them, and then we hired a separate, not the same firm, appraisal firm, and I'd need to tell you exactly which is which, but in one of the three, the appraiser disagreed, and we are underwriting to roughly $50 less a month than the HAP contract. So we did underwrite to the lower two. I believe in two of them, the appraiser agreed that it was the exact number, and in the last one, the appraiser came up with a slightly higher number. Yes, we feel quite comfortable that we've looked at this from multiple lenses and that they're supportable. And as you also recall, our underwriting is twofold. There's a debt service coverage requirement for the 15-year hold, as well as the loan-to-value. The four PRI transactions were limited by the LTV, so the debt service coverage actually based on the rents, the contract rents that are in place, is there's quite a nice cushion on the debt service coverage side.
Okay.
So quite comfortable in that.
Okay. Good.
My only question relates to just the age of the coverage enhancements and rehab that you mentioned. Can you just talk a little bit about the asset management routines to make sure that the work's done and that the property maintains a certain level?
Yes. I'm going to look to my left and right to elaborate. I'll share what I know. One is this group has been a little unusual in that they have not just on refinances, but out of cash flow on a regular basis, they have funded improvements and upgrades out of operations. So they really are looking at this as a hold into perpetuity, not just chunks at refinance. They are inspected annually by a group that's another department in Rhode Island Housing. In addition to completing the CNAs, we do get those inspections and their scores. They scored very high, which is partially why we were comfortable with both the CNA and the scores, that they are doing a relatively light amount of work. Those annual inspections will continue. As far as the work that was completed very recently and will be completed post-rehab, we have our design and construction team, and I'm working with Tony Avant and the staff in that group, and they will pre-closing inspect and confirm that all the work that was represented was completed, and then we will, just like all other transactions, escrow at closing the funds to complete the post-closing work, and it will only be released upon inspection by that group.
Yeah, the only other thing I would add is we actually hold, much to the developers, they don't necessarily agree with this, but we do hold 20% of the equity takeout until all the work is complete, so that if, perchance, we identify things once the work starts, we have the money to do it, and there's not a lot, we're not arguing about that.
Okay, that's good. That's really good. And that would be for all of these?
For all five, yeah.
And are you doing the inspections in person these days?
Yeah.
We are. Yeah, our design and construction group put into place some COVID protocols well over a year ago, and they're very diligent. Obviously, everybody's masked, and but we are doing inspections. I do think that if a tenant is uncomfortable with people going in their unit, they will pass on that. But by and large, work has gone unabated.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I just add, maybe you're asked getting to the 223F program, HUD's program. I mean, they hold that 50%, so maybe the developer's not so happy, but he's probably happier than he would be.
That's good to know. Thank you.
Yes, HUD. No other questions? Okay. Have a vote, please, Corinne.
Yes, this is Corey Meyer speaking. With a motion having previously been made by the commissioner and seconded by Commissioner Barry, all those in favor of recommending firm approval of financing for Hardig Brook Village Apartments in Warwick, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. We'll now move on to item number 5, which is recommendation for firm approval of financing for Chateau Claire Apartments and Woonsocket. Motion.
Indian
Road.
Indian Road.
We skipped over. I'm sorry. They're all blending together for
number
me, too.
Number four.
Number four. Try this again. Recommendation for firm approval of financing for Indian Run Village Apartments in Wakefield.
So moved.
So moved by Corinne, seconded by Nick. And we...
I'm just going to share...
Go through this one, too.
Well, I'm going to say the project contains 115 units. We're here today to seek $23,679,000 in a new first mortgage. That would be an up-to amount. My apologies. $23,769,000. I apologize. I inverted the numbers for my notes. That will be an up-to amount. It's going to follow nearly the identical program we just discussed, so I'm just going to let you guys, I think, ask questions.
Seems that, as you said on the other deals, Jeff, we not only look to loan to value, but debt service cover, and this one seems to have a particularly strong debt service coverage. That's good to see, and high reserves. I don't have any other questions myself with this one. Any? Okay. Other questions, Corinne? Please take a vote.
This is Corey Myers speaking, with a motion having previously been made by Commissioner Barry and seconded by the chairman. All those in favor of recommending firm approval of finance to Indian Run Village Apartments in Wakefield, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote. Thanks.
Now we will move on to number five. Recommendation for firm approval of financing for Chateau Claire Apartments in Woonsocket. Have a motion, please.
So moved.
So moved by Nick. Seconded by Maria. And Jeff?
So this is Jeff Swanson again. Chateau Claire contains 88 units, and we are here to seek a new first mortgage of up to $10,521,000. They will be completing the same kind of light rehab and escrow as we've discussed. Are there any questions that I can answer for you?
I don't have any others about this one. Hearing no other questions or comments, take a vote, please, Corey.
This is Corey Myers, with a motion previously having been made by the chairman and seconded by Commissioner Barry. All those in favor of recommending firm approval of financing for Chateau Claire Apartments in Woonsocket, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Great. Thank you very much. This is Kevin Orth. We'll now move on to item number six, which is recommendation for firm approval of financing for Gatewood Apartments located in North Smithfield. Have a motion.
So
moved by Maria.
Second.
Second by Nick. And Jeff, will you be presenting this one?
You're stuck with me for one more.
All right.
Again, this is Jeff Swanson, Development Officer. Gatewood Apartments contains 60 units. We are seeking a loan of up to $9,018,000. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
So this one, I believe, is an instance where the where the half rents were above maybe the market that you concluded?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you're comfortable with where you fell on that then?
So the appraisal valued the property using the market rents,
mm-hmm.
not the contract rents,
mm-hmm.
and the debt service coverage and the pro forma are utilizing the market rents.
Right.
So the debt service coverage presented in the write-up is based on the market rents. Assuming they continue to get the contract rents, this one will be very well
right.
covered.
Right. Perfect. Great.
So that's all, to quote my department head, that's all gravy.
Right. Good. Any other comments or questions about this one? Hearing none, take a vote, please, Corey.
This is Corey Myers. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending firm approval of financing for Gatewood Apartments in North Smithfield, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion's approved by unanimous vote. Thank you.
Okay, great. We'll now move on. Thank you very much, sir. We'll now move on to item number seven, which is a recommendation for firm approval of second mortgage financing for DeAngelis Manor apartments located in West Warwick. And this one is a bit different from the first few.
It is.
So, yeah. May I have a motion?
So moved.
So moved by Ned.
Okay.
Second by Maria. And Ann, I believe you'll be
I'll present.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Seth Sanchin, the development officer. The project is DeAngelis Manor 1, is an existing property in Rhode Island Housing's portfolio. The original nonprofit sponsor of the development is Sacred Heart Housing Corporation, and the request is for firm commitment of a second mortgage of up to $1.5 million. The property is a high-rise building in West Warwick, originally developed in 1978 for elderly and disabled households. There are 96 apartments with one- and two-bedroom units. All units benefit from a Section 8 HAP contract. The second mortgage will support critical repairs for the elevator and roof. The elevator work is mainly for modernization and maintenance of the systems. And the roof is about 22 years old and will need to be replaced. The property is currently encumbered by a first mortgage of approximately $1.48 million and a small second mortgage of approximately $155,000 of amortizing debt with Rhode Island Housing. At closing, the small second mortgage will be paid off with the new second mortgage proceeds, and the appraisal supports the underwriting assumptions, and the project conforms with Rhode Island Housing standard underwriting. Any questions?
Great. Thank you very much for that presentation. So I'll jump in. Is there a prepayment lockout on the proposed loan? Because it sounds like maybe they're just having to scramble to get some funds to pay for the roof and maybe elevator or some other emergency item. So is this, I just wonder if they're going to be looking to do a total refinance in 2 or 3 years, is this the right product for them?
Yeah, so we talked about this with their board and the sponsor. So it sounded like they wanted to continue paying off their first mortgage till the end of the term. So the second mortgage was kind of the quickest way for us to get the work done that they needed to be completed. I don't know, Anne, if you want to add a little more about the board that we're working with.
This project dates me because it's one of the first preservation projects I did 22 years ago. But it is a very small nonprofit sponsor affiliated with a church. They own this project and a 202 that's next door. Relatively unsophisticated when you compare them to the developers that we just discussed. Really not interested in cash out. They care about maintaining the building and making sure that the residents are safe and sound. I've literally had them talk to me like, I'm about to pay off my mortgage. Why would I want to get a new mortgage? They're not interested in pulling cash out. They're not going to do anything else. They just want to maintain this asset. And we did discuss potentially doing a refinance. I think if it happens, it will be, 5-10 years into the future. So they do have serious elevator issues and the roof. And this would just this is much more than what's in their replacement reserve. So we talked about this with finance, and it seemed to be the most prudent approach.
Okay. So they can get out of this.
They can prepay the first mortgage if they wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll continue to work with them
and
provide technical assistance
Perfect.
To see whether or not we can't move them in a direction of doing a larger refinance with probably more capital improvement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Okay.
You covered this before, but just so I understood, you think there's no risk or no substantial risk that they would divert money from one activity, like the housing, into a church-related activity?
No, we will. We will hold all of the proceeds until the work is completed.
Okay. And our design and construction staff obviously will visit the property during construction as well to make sure that it's being paid accurately.
And we wouldn't suspect that would happen anyway. I think they're just a well-intentioned owner looking to try to do what's best for the property and the residents.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's just a problem that's just a problem on the 202, though, isn't it?
We're not. This
right.
is not on the 202.
Right. Right. So that would. Okay.
Yeah, but I think we've had
even if they did on this
preserving 202.
Mm-hmm.
They have actually refinanced their 202 a few years ago
with
223F financing.
Yeah. Okay.
And we've provided capital to 202s in the form of grants in the past when there's been problems with some of our smaller 202 projects.
Mm-hmm. Any questions for you? Okay. Any other questions? You're good? Okay, great. Let's take a vote then, please, Cory.
This is Cory Myers speaking, with a motion having previously been made by Chairman Ritsinas and seconded by Commissioner Barry. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending firm approval of second mortgage financing for DeAngelis Manor 1 in West Warwick, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion's approved by unanimous vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's now move on to agenda item 8, which is the recommendation for approval of prepayment of Blackstone Falls Apartments located in Central Falls. Motion.
Mm-hmm.
So moved by Maria. No? Can I second it as the chair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll second
sorry,
it.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm with one. Pick up that poor church.
Great. And Anne, you'll present for this
it.
One, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
This
thank
is
you.
Dan Berman. So this is sort of the opposite of what we just discussed. This is an administrative action that is required, requires your approval under current regulations. This is a request for the approval of the prepayment of the existing mortgage for Blackstone Falls, which is a 133-unit apartment building in Central Falls. The developer is not interested in refinancing. They rehabbed and refinanced in 2005 using low-income housing tax credits. They're not interested in a new first mortgage at this point. And so they will pay a prepayment penalty of $1.1 million along with the current loan balance and own their property free and clear.
So this what's is the outstanding principal balance?
It's about a
No, it's about $4.2
million. $4.2 million, I apologize.
Okay.
Under our, just as a reminder, under our refinance proposal, in order to sort of do that and take the equity takeout, we do require a higher mortgage because, again, it's sort of that win-win analysis that our finance team does. They were not interested in more debt on the property. So for them, they did their analysis and determined that they would just pay off the existing mortgage and the prepayment penalty and the regulatory agreement extends through 2045, so we're quite comfortable that they will continue to provide services and units to the intended population.
Is it an either or? They either take on a much larger loan amount in their FFB or other preservation loan, or not and pay off very large prepayment, or can they do that? Say somewhat lower than max FFB and maybe a higher and maybe a prepay.
They could have. I mean, we have been talking to them for well over a year. They pretty much have made up their mind that this is the direction that they would like to go.
Okay.
We've looked at a number of different permutations. I know Jeff may be able to provide a little bit more color for that.
This is Jeff Swanson, Development Officer. They have been looking at this actually way back to 5 years ago under the prior FFB program. They're interested in reducing their rate. Unfortunately, we just are not coming up as that competitive for them. They have a portfolio around the country, and they've been doing MAP deals and hovering around, you know, 2.5% for all of those deals. So even now with the FFB program, we're just not able to be that competitive. The reality is they're taking equity out of some of these other projects with the FFB, with the MAP program, and using that equity to just pay this off.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that's the most cost-effective use of their money. And can attest, I have, every time there's been a change in our programs, I have done my very best to keep this in the portfolio. But
okay.
It's been a five-year conversation.
Okay. All right. Good.
How many more years left
do
they have on their
loan? 23. It's a full 45-year program, and there are no outs.
Okay. And the rate was probably high?
6.75, from memory. I don't know if you have that in your notes.
A big prepayment penalty, so
It's also a rehabbed mill that's, as the name Blackstone Falls indicates, is right on the water, and it's, so it's not eligible for the HUD MAP program because it's in a flood zone. It's part of why we've had it as long as we have.
I know Central Falls is very small. Is it close to the train station?
No, it's practically in Lincoln. It's right on the water. This building actually has a water turbine in it.
Yeah, right.
It generates electricity for the building. It's fascinating.
It is. It's not even on the river. It is on the river. It straddles the river.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
This is Corey Meyer speaking, with a motion having previously been made by Commissioner Barry and seconded by Committee Chairman Orth. All those in favor of recommending approval of prepayment for Blackstone Falls Apartments in Central Falls, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move on to agenda item number 9, which is recommendation for approval of funding awards for Zero Energy for the Ocean State, also known as ZEOS, demonstration program. Have a motion, please.
So moved.
So moved by Nick.
Second.
Second by Maria. Great. And we have to present.
I will present this.
You will, Ann? Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Ann Berman. So this request is for approval of up to $500,000 of Rhode Island Housing funding toward the ZEOS program, which stands for Zero Energy for the Ocean State. Rhode Island Housing partnered with National Grid and the Office of Energy Resources to design and construct affordable housing that meets essentially zero energy building standards. And I wanted to look this up for you. A zero energy building produces enough renewable energy to meet its own energy consumption requirements, thereby reducing the use of non-renewable energy in the building sector. So in May of 2021, we issued an RFP for, this is the second round of ZEOS demonstration funding. We did receive 5 proposals requesting $1.24 million. I have to give a shout out to Haley Kenyon, who is our manager in the design and construction. She has done a terrific job of sort of coordinating and working with our partners in the review of these proposals. And we are recommending 3 proposals, all of which are proposing solar voltaics to get to that net zero status. The first is Brookside Terrace 2, which is under construction. The Dakota Partners is the developer. It's located in East Greenwich, and it's 48 units. The second project is Lockwood Plaza, which is in Providence. It's been operating, I think, for 40-plus years. It's owned by Wynn in conjunction with the Providence Housing Authority, and they're going to retrofit 16 units with solar to make them net zero. And then the third project is Bourne Mill 3, which is a tax credit deal that is moving through its due diligence now with us, developing 59 units. They're actually going to develop a carport with solar on top of it that will then support the adjacent 59 units. So collectively, OER is committing $250,000. We are committing $490,000. We're asking for up to $500,000 in case there are any cost overruns. And I will note that there is a chart in this RFA that I did just discover needs to be modified ever so slightly because it shows that OER is paying $251,000 and we're paying a little bit less. So we'll fix that before firm commitment. But we are asking for approval of the $500,000 in Rhode Island Housing Resources to support the development of these 3 properties.
Great. Thank you very much, Ann.
Any sense of when the day is done, what the development cost would be of these houses?
You mean of just of the solar?
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, these costs are
I mean, just around housing, any place.
Right, so I don't know if Haley Kenyon is on the call. I think it would be easier. We will get you the exact cost of the development of the solar for each of these. I know that in the case of Brookside 2 and I believe Bourne Mill, they got a small amount of BHRI as well to support the solar. I just don't know the specific dollar amount of each installation.
You can follow up, that'd be fine.
Sure.
I'm going to recuse myself.
Oh, okay. So if this is a zero energy program, you say zero, it produces as much energy as it consumes. So that is not just for the common areas of the building, but that's for all of the apartments.
Correct.
Within that building as well.
Correct.
Okay, so the benefits of these savings will accrue, therefore, to the tenants. Is that correct?
Yes, so it will, first of all, I mean, from a comfort perspective, I think these units will be extraordinarily comfortable and energy efficient, right? So from a temperature variation.
Sure.
But yes, I mean, so their utility allowances will be lower. They will be paying the rent, but it also allows the developer to potentially increase debt on their property, right, which will also result in potentially lower use of subsidy on the property.
And so if these are tax credit properties, so the utility allowance will be reduced, correct?
That's an interesting question.
So the rent could go up.
The rent cannot exceed the tax credit amounts.
Right.
And you may be able to explain this a little bit better than I, but under as I understand the utility allowances, at the beginning, we are not able to actually modify the utility allowances. Mm-hmm. You have to do it after you can show 2 or 3 years worth of actual costs.
Right, right. But again, I guess the question
is... It's not going to hurt the residents. I think that's where we're headed. The residents are not going to have to pay more rent because the electric bill is less.
Okay, and so, how is that going to happen?
I would have to look at each one of these and see how they're doing it. There's a couple different ways to incorporate solar into what you do that gets the discount into the hands of the residents, and I don't want to speak for each one of these off the top of my head.
Okay.
But generally speaking, you know, it can be passed along to the tenants by the discount that the owner is going to get.
Well, and
again, as Ann said, statutorily, they can't be charged more than the tax credit rent. So there is an operating way to do that for each one.
I believe these are all master meter buildings, so there was no tenant utility allowance to begin with.
Oh, if that's the case, then that's the
simplest way. And we'll confirm that for you.
Well, if they're master metered, then the savings will accrue to the landlord.
Right.
That is correct.
Okay, so, okay. I guess it seems like this is a program to really drive the benefits of energy savings to low to moderate income persons.
Right.
So who's getting the benefit, I guess, is a question. And it's if it's a master metered building and they're not lowering the rents, the benefits are going to the landlord. And if it's a tax credit property with separately metered rents, you can drive down utility allowance and bump up the rent. So I'd like to know if this is a program to get the benefits to low-income residents, that the benefits are indeed going
right.
to low-income
so
residents.
So there's a couple ways, right? If it's a master metered building, the residents aren't paying. So they're getting that included.
All right. If the rent is $1,000, it's master metered before mm-hmm. the program, and the landlord's paying all the utilities, his utility bill goes down, the resident's still paying that $1,000.
But they're getting utility service.
They were getting utility service before.
Can I?
I think this incentivizes, it certainly incentivizes master metering, where most, generally speaking, we don't have that as a function of what we do.
I hear where you're coming from. I'd rather not guess at the answer. Can I just
sure.
circle back with Haley and
sure.
her team and we'll get back to you.
Yeah. I just know that these issues are tricky. I tried doing it on Section 8 properties,
right.
And you can't do it on a Section 8 property.
I think in many ways, this is called a demonstration program because it's really about sort of the energy efficiency.
Right.
I will say that in the first round, none of the awards were made to tax credit developments. They were made to a couple of, like, 1 and 2 unit buildings and a couple of single family buildings. So I think it's, it was just, this is what came in this round. So let me kind of get the details and I'll shoot you a memo.
I think it's great to do energy savings, but I just want to be clear. If it's the benefits are supposed to go to the residents.
Right.
Well, I think it's also twofold, right? Because the benefits are also to demonstrate and show the efficiency of zero energy construction.
Sure.
And be able to get that out into the development community that becomes a standard rather than an exception.
Right.
And I think that's definitely OER's lens. OER's lens is to move the state to zero energy, right?
Right.
So that's their goal and their mission.
Right.
We're in this because we want to see it happen with affordable
this
housing.
This particular,
as well.
Right.
So we will look at that, though, Kevin, and
have
that answer for you for
Thank
the board
you.
Meeting.
Thank you. A couple of other things. I know you looked at them, but I'm just kind of curious myself, and this maybe goes to what Nick was asking, too. But if I'm assuming the projected energy savings were calculated and then maybe a payback period calculated or a return on investment calculated, I think that would be interesting because if this is supposed to be replicated down the road, I mean, we got to know that there's
Are we buying?
A payback period that's less than the life of the equipment,
right? I do know that that was done, and if you want, Haley is on the phone. She can provide this, or we can put it in this memo for you.
Yeah, and the memo is fine. And the
memo
is fine. But I think that would be great to see.
Just a follow-up to one point. It'd be nice if in that same report we had some sense of what are possible outcomes for the project and the assistance. Maybe this proves the point that you need heavy, steep subsidies to break the market. If that's the case, it's going to be a long time. We'll be back to Indian Run Villages, 1978. Like, so I worked a lot with students on this, and we had this idea. It's a great idea. They wanted to do it, but the numbers don't work absent some major external subsidy. And I guess I'm looking at the same, it's sort of an open question. I'm not trying to be agnostic about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what was interesting, and I think you're right on, Brookside was originally designed to be zero energy. But as they were developing the project, basically overall costs increase and they had to cut out the solar, right? So they have a Zeos ready building, but for the solar component. So I think, you know, in a perfect world, it can be built into sort of the overall construction costs, but as a result of cost overruns, they just weren't able to do that.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions about this item? Okay. Thank you for the follow-up on this.
Sure.
On this too. Let's take a vote, please, Corinne.
This is Corey Myers. We have had a recusal from Commissioner Berry. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending approval of funding awards for Zero Energy for the Ocean State, otherwise known as ZEOS demonstration program as presented at this meeting? Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The ayes appear to have it with Commissioners Orth and Retsinas voting in the affirmative. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. That concludes our agenda items. I think we just have a
pipeline.
I know. We got through it in under an hour. I was well trained.
Good job.
Any other items other than the pipeline report might go through? Okay. I know we had on the agenda to go over the housing fact book.
I'm
going to put that off for the next
until
month.
Until January.
Well, there's some more time to do that, but interested to look at that. So I guess maybe the pipeline, if you could maybe focus on the workforce housing developments, that's of interest to me at least.
Sure. So as you know, two are under construction. One is the one on West Fountain, should be done soon, the parcel 6. Is about 40% complete at this point, so they're on schedule. The other four are in varying states. Two basically, one is basically ready to close. The other, the documents are going back and forth and should close before the end of the year. That's the Studley Building and the Case Mead Building. Strive lost. The borrower would like to close by the end of the year. We're working with our attorney to see if we can meet that goal. And then the fourth one is Arctic Mill. And that one, I think, is probably a couple of months away. That's a little bit more complicated. It's a full mill redevelopment, and they have state and federal historic credits as well as rebuild credits, so it's just a little bit more complicated. And in that transaction, we will close simultaneously with all of the other funding, and our money will go in pari passu during construction. In the other three deals that are in process, our money will go in when CO is issued, since we kind of came in after the project had started.
Good, good. So there are, it sounds like they're on track, all of them on track.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we a little slower than we would have liked, but we're getting there.
Yeah, okay.
One of the original purposes of this program was to just expand our use and see how we can help people with the margin. You know, they can't do the very low income. And one of the things we tried to do along the way, not as much as I would like, is really talk to some of the developers. From their eyes, what are they seeing? Is it really anything different, or just a modified subsidy program that we have here? So it'd be nice to get a listing of kind of where we are. I'm not saying we invite the developers in, but get some feedback, maybe through you, Ann, or their colleagues, about how they see the world.
Sure. I will tell you that since, so there was an article about our program in, I think it was Affordable Housing Magazine. We have gotten a lot of phone calls from a lot of developers who are very interested in developing in Rhode Island and trying to figure out how to use the workforce housing dollars. So there are a lot of buildings, whether or not they were originally designed with a workforce housing component, I think is probably an open question, but I think because costs have increased, they were designing market rate buildings. They now need to kind of have a gap filled and trying to figure out if we can get the workforce housing dollars, you know, it's good for us, right? Because then we buy some affordable units in projects that had never intended to have affordable units.
The other objective we had is to ask ourselves the question, can we go forward with projects with a lighter touch? Not more detail. We can't quite seem to get over the Rubicon for that, but it's something that we could have a larger conversation about would be helpful.
I do believe that for those that for the workforce housing units that are under construction now, we basically go out once a month and, you know, approve the construction in conjunction with the other lenders. So I do think there's a lighter touch. And in fact, on the other three or four, you know, basically our money goes in after construction is completion, so they're just, you know, we're going out once a month and looking when the bank looks. That's it. You know, so I do think we have we're working with our design and construction to get a lighter touch for these buildings, but enough of a touch so that we feel comfortable with the money that we're putting in. Right, it's a fine line.
Right, I noticed in just looking at our website that the workforce housing program isn't there. It just, I guess it only comes out when there's an RFP.
Yes, when there are funds available.
Is that sense, or should we? Okay.
And we are planning to do a little bit of tweaking of the rules and the regulations for the next round. We've talked about modifying the subsidies so that it isn't the same for every unit size. We've talked about emphasizing the discount to market. So we've got a lot of programs in the works, so
right.
I think we haven't quite gotten there yet, but
okay.
But we've been very clear with the developers that we're talking to when we kind of have been letting them know where some of those changes are likely to occur, just so they can plan accordingly.
To the chairman's point, each round has given us some lessons, right? We're learning more, we're hearing more from developers, what works for them, and as Ann said, you know, a lighter touch is not our normal muscle, so kind of getting that into shape as well. So it's, I think, each subsequent round will be better positioned to do some good stuff.
And it is listed as one of our priorities for the governor. that we've sent up to the governor for the ARPA funds. So, you know, okay. We'll see how that plays out. That might provide more resources to do more in the workforce.
Okay. Right. Update on Barbara Jordan?
Yes, it is in closing. And while I think they had a terrific and very aggressive goal of closing by the end of this calendar year, it's a complicated transaction, and I expect it will close by the end of January to the middle of February.
Okay.
They've started doing some, they're doing some utility work.
Right, so all the utilities are capped. You know, you can't cut into the ground after December 1st, so they worked really aggressively. They worked with us and the utility company. So all the utilities are capped, so once they own it, they can immediately start with demolition, and they actually have all of their demolition permits in hand. So there were, I give the developer and their team a lot of credit. They have worked really hard to move this at what I would think is sort of lightning speed.
And the buildings didn't go to waste. Chief Gates with the Providence Fire Department used the sites as a training ground for the fire department, and he also invited the city of Hartford in because they don't often have this dense group of buildings to be able to train on. So they did some of the demo for the developer.
Any other projects to highlight? Any other issues with construction delays or overruns?
No, I don't think so. I would say that, you know, some of these deals that have been kind of in a pre-development, we now have full 4% applications. They have received approval of HRC. So I think given the recent BHRI awards, that pipeline is really going to start to pick up. Staff has been very busy.
I think there's probably I know I'm experiencing appliance delays, right? So I've purchased appliances. They're not coming in until February. So I think there's delays on certain things.
Yes.
But I don't know that any of our projects have suffered from anything unusual.
No, not since the early part of COVID. Like when everybody was just getting used to things, I think we've been very lucky that a lot of folks have thought ahead and purchased in advance and kind of locked in some things that
seeing more pre-purchase and storage of, literally the minute they close, they're ordering things that they know they're not going to need for 8 months and paying to insure them and have pods on site or warehouse space. Mm-hmm. They're being very proactive.
Mm-hmm. That's great. No lumber issues?
You know, I mean, depends what week it is, right?
Like,
the price
is. Because there's definitely, that's been a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we've heard a lot about lumber prices that
throwing
big changes to the budget.
Yeah.
Good. Any other comments or questions about this? Great. Motion to adjourn then, I guess.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what I was trying to say is Ray, you were tested, who is the principal of PRI.